From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. More details have emerged about a bizarre failed attempt to capture Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro, an attempt that originated in the U.S. Two American men, former Green Berets, were captured as part of the plot, which was apparently masterminded by a former Special Forces soldier named Jordan Goodreau. The Washington Post said the plan, quote, could double as a screenplay for an episode of Jack Ryan. The failed attempt was first reported by the Maduro government, but even the U.S. media has not reported it and ridiculed the attempt. The Trump administration says it has no knowledge of the matter. My guest is Lucas Kerner, political analyst and editor at VenezuelaAnalysis.com. Welcome to the program, Lucas.
Thanks so much for having me.
So can you make sense of what it was exactly that took place? So a former Special Forces soldier in the U.S., Jordan Goodreau, came up with this idea. And he, I understand, was working with opposition military leaders from Venezuela. But this was a plot that seems to have been masterminded on U.S. soil and involved a boat of just a few dozen armed men attempting to enter Venezuela from Colombia and expecting to succeed.
Indeed, we've seen some more revelations surface over the last week with Guaido's Miami-based senior advisor.
And Juan Guaido is the U.S.-backed Venezuelan opposition leader.
Mm-hmm. Who declared himself interim president in January of 2019, has been recognized by the United States and its allies. And he, it's been reported by the Washington Post that he tapped, Rendon admitted that he was tasked with forming a committee to evaluate and investigate basically violent regime change scenarios for kidnapping Maduro and installing a new regime in power headed by Guaido. So Rendon, he, on behalf of Guaido and also with Guaido's other senior advisor, Sergio Vergara, they went to different Miami-based or U.S.-based mercenary outfits looking for those who would be able to help them with this operation. And after meeting with several different prospective contractors who were going to charge, according to Rendon, something like $500 million, they found Goodreau, who offered to do it on the cheap, quote unquote, for $212 million or around there. So what we do know is that he was paid $50,000, but it appears that Rendon, on behalf of Guaido, broke off his contractual obligations and did not pay the $1.2 million retainer fee, at which point he claims that they completely disassociated themselves from Goodreau and he went ahead planning the operation alone. They had no knowledge of it, which, you know, is itself a very contested fact. It is disputed by the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and others who say that the United States, Colombian intelligence, the opposition was aware of this the whole time, and they had paramilitary training camps in Colombia that the CIA, specifically the Wall Street Journal, says was monitoring the activities there. So clearly, Guaido's story of trying to completely disassociate himself from this violent coup effort appears highly dubious at best, and there are substantial evidence emerging that they were involved. And at the minimum, the U.S. Was aware of it and turned a blind eye and allowed it to go forward.
So just to clarify and reiterate, Juan Guaido, who is the Venezuelan opposition leader, who's declared himself president and backed very strongly by the U.S., his advisor, his U.S.-based advisor, Juan Rendon, helped to develop a plan with this former U.S. Special Forces soldier named Jordan Goodreau. And Rendon apparently or says that he absolved himself or removed himself from the plan and Goodreau went ahead. But Mr. Guaido, who Rendon is supposedly advising, fired Rendon over this particular issue, right? Why would he fire him if there was no connection?
That's exactly the point, is that the fact that it's crystal clear that Sergio Vergara and Juan Rendon's names are on this 40-something page contract with Silvercorps, which is very damning, which contains all kinds of provisions in authorizing the paramilitary forces to round up civilians and even kill those who are resisting or presenting hostile, quote-unquote, threats to this invasion effort.
You know, you mentioned Sergio Vergara, who is another Venezuelan opposition leader who is exiled in, or at least has fled to the U.S. And tell me what Silvercorps is, what the company that you just mentioned.
Sure. Silvercorps is Jordan Goudreau, who was a special mm-hmm. forces veteran of the U.S. Wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. He, after coming out of the military, founded Silvercorps, which it seems from investigations emerging that began as kind of a school security outfit and began to venture into overseas mercenary work in Puerto, and it was active in Puerto Rico during Hurricane Maria. And Goudreau first came to Venezuela when he was hired to do security work for the concert that was held in the Colombian city of Cucuta on the border with Venezuela, 8 kilometers from the Venezuelan border, as part of this quote-unquote humanitarian aid stunt that they were trying to force this U.S. aid-supplied food across the border into Venezuela in an effort to get the Venezuelan military to oust Maduro and create this casus belli for potentially humanitarian intervention in the country. So he was doing security then, and apparently that sparked his interest. And he subsequently met with high-level members of the opposition in Miami in a meeting in which also Keith Schiller, who is Trump's most trusted, longest-serving bodyguard, also attended. So we don't know about any other links here. Schiller claims to have disassociated himself from Goudreau, but this is clearly Goudreau. He appears to be a true believer in the opposition's regime change effort, and you know, he was himself associated with other Venezuelan military exiles in the United States, who he appeared on May 3rd in a video announcing the operation and you know, calling for the Venezuelan military to rise up and oust Maduro.
And actually, here is a short excerpt of, I believe, the same video. This is Jordan Goudreau alongside a Venezuelan opposition member. And you'll hear the person speaking English is Mr. Goudreau.
Venezolanos y compañeros de la Fuerza Armada, superiores y subalternos, hoy 3 de mayo del 2020, les habla Javier Nieto Quintero en compañía de Jordan Goudreau, miembro de las Fuerzas Especiales del Ejército de los Estados Unidos.
At 1700 hours, a daring amphibious raid was launched from the border of Colombia deep into the heart of Caracas. Our men are continuing to fight right now. Our units have been activated in the south, west, and east of Venezuela. Commander Nieto is with me, is co-located, and Commander Sakay is on the ground now fighting.
El objetivo de estas palabras
and
es primero.
That is a video or part of a video that was posted to Twitter by and featuring Jordan Goudreau, the former U.S. Special Forces member, explaining the coup attempt that he had essentially launched along with other figures who are members of the Venezuelan opposition. So Lucas Kerner, who is my guest, is political analyst and editor at VenezuelaAnalysis.com. This particular raid was launched by boat, I understand, from Colombia, and when they landed in Venezuela. My question to you is, did Maduro's government know about this attack? And how did these men expect to actually succeed? It ended up that 8 members of the Venezuelan opposition were killed.
Yes. It was launched from Colombia. The paramilitary training camps were established. There was 3 of them near the Colombian city of Riohacha, in the upper northeastern part of Colombia near Venezuela. And they launched the operation. There seems to be 3 motorboats, speedboats that arrived at different times. And yeah, they seem to have something like 60 men, And their goal was to establish a beachhead. And according to the testimonies, which the two captured former Special Forces soldiers and current employees of Silver Corps, the testimonies they gave to Venezuelan authorities is that they plan to take the international airport, take Miraflores Presidential Palace, among other key military and civilian facilities, kidnap Maduro, take him to the airport where a plane was supposed to arrive to extradite him or extraordinarily render him to the United States. Now, this kind of raises some questions about, well, you know, to what extent if they had a plane that was going to arrive, clearly to what extent they might have had support from or some promises or logistical coordination with the U.S. government that a plane was going to come in. It had to be very close if this operation was to be successful, that Jordan Goudreau's business partner from Silver Corps, who gave an interview to Anya Parampil at the Gray Zone, in which he admitted that Goudreau was going around telling people that he had a State Department contract. So we don't know if this is true or not. He could have been bluffing. But clearly, there seems to be some kind of expectation on the part of these mercenaries that they were going to have assistance from the United States. Otherwise, it looks like it was a suicide mission. So I think that there might have been expectation there. And you know, clearly, the United States had to know about this and might have just been allowed it to go ahead. And had it worked, would have backed it. And you know, as it did not, could claim plausible deniability, as in the case of many covert operations that the United States undertakes or permits.
How has the Maduro government responded to this? And it seems that they were aware of this, which I imagine wouldn't have been too difficult considering that Mr. Goudreau was essentially advertising that he was planning this operation. So how did Maduro respond? This attempt just plays right into his hands because he has maintained for years that the U.S. has launched coup attempts and failed. And, you know, he's basically been proven right.
I think that an important detail is that in the AP article that was released on May 2nd that actually preempted the May 3rd event, in which it was a profile of Jordan Goudreau and focusing on in the paramilitary training camp, they reported was one a National Guard deserter who reportedly participated in the August 2018 assassination attempt against President Maduro with a drone carrying explosives. So this is, again, Maduro was the first head of state in the world to be the subject of such an assassination attempt with drones. I mean, this is what the majority of the international media sought to paint as a conspiracy theory by Maduro until CNN, you know, many months later showed that this actually took place and that it was planned from Colombia. So I think that for Maduro and the government, this is clearly, I mean, this although it failed, clearly, it's one more piece of evidence of this really extensive extensive spider web of dark paramilitary elements that are connected to Bogota, that are connected to elements in Miami that have been trying to overthrow the Venezuelan government for many years. I mean, let's remember that in September of last year, it was revealed that Juan Guaido had entered Colombia, the Colombian city of Cúcuta. He crossed the border illegally to attend that concert, which I mentioned, mm-hmm. with the help of Colombian drug lords. Called Los Rastrojos, who are a breakoff of the AUC Colombian paramilitary group, notorious for massacring leftists or anyone who could be accused of being a guerrilla. So these are very, very dangerous elements. And another opposition figure, Lilian Tinturi, likewise in a public conference, she admitted that the opposition had connections with Colombian paramilitary. So I think that this is one more piece of evidence, and quite damning indeed, that the opposition is tied to very far right elements in Colombia and other dark elements of the United States trying to overthrow an elected government in Venezuela.
So two Americans were captured by the Maduro government. These are the former Green Berets, Luke Denman and Aaron Berry. These are men who were actually participating in the raid, presumably under the leadership of the Mr. Goodreau, Jordan Goodreau, the former Special Forces soldier. What will happen to them? Their families are worried. Their families seem to have not known anything about this particular raid, at least as per news reports. What do you think the Maduro government will do with them?
Well, it was just revealed late last week that they had been charged with terrorism, conspiracy, among other charges for their role in this, and they are in Venezuelan custody. Though I think that, I mean, the videos showed no signs of any mistreatment. They were quite calm, and the Venezuelan government is, you know, as in the case of many other in other cases of detained U.S. citizens in the United States, you know, is committed to their safety in order to perhaps use them as bargaining chips in some kind of negotiation with the United States. Because I mean, Maduro has made numerous overtures to the Trump administration to try to ease the illegal sanctions, which have been shown to be responsible for tens of thousands, if not more, deaths by deeply worsening the economic crisis in the country. So I think that the Trump administration, Pompeo, threatened last week that the United States would use "quote unquote" every tool to secure the release of these captured U.S. citizens. We have to oppose any efforts by the Trump administration to use force in that matter, that only negotiations, and those negotiations must seek an end to the U.S.'s illegal sanctions on Venezuela and other attempts to unilaterally overthrow the elected government of Venezuela in violation of the U.N. Charter, the Charter of the Organization of American States, among other key elements of international law.
The aspects, there's so many aspects of this raid that just seems so ludicrous. I mean, just the impunity of it, their misplaced sense of confidence that such a thing would work with just a few dozen armed men and a couple of boats, the fact that they were live tweeting it. And yet, of course, in the era of President Trump, it seems as though nothing is beyond the scope of reality. There's one report showing that the company, the mercenary company led by the leader of this raid, Jordan Goodreau, the company named Silver Corps, had apparently provided security at one of President Trump's events. He did security for the president's rallies in 2018, as per New York Magazine's The Intelligencer. And Associated Press confirmed that Goodreau had accompanied the president's longtime bodyguard, Keith Schiller, to a meeting with Guaido's representatives in Miami in 2019. So just a year ago, Goodreau's company helped provide security for the president's bodyguard meeting with Juan Guaido's representatives. I mean, even if the Trump administration didn't direct such a raid, it does seem that there's links to the Trump administration and they likely knew about it, allowed it to continue. But I'm wondering what would have happened if those former Green Berets that were captured by Maduro had been among those killed. The eight people that were killed were Venezuelan opposition forces. If Maduro's regime had ended up killing, as part of the confrontation of this raid, two American citizens, this might have provided exactly the fodder that the U.S. has been looking for to launch an invasion into Venezuela, which it has threatened to do many times.
I think that that's a very compelling point. And I think that, you know, in the likelihood that they did know about this, given the extent of U.S. Surveillance and intelligence focused on Venezuela, and as part of this ongoing coup effort, the United States has been perpetuating, at least in the latest iteration since the 23rd of January of last year, that clearly the death of two U.S. citizens would, present a justification for intensification of U.S. sanctions or even, some kind of military action against the country. I think that more importantly, we have to look at the role of Silver Corps and Goodreau kind of within these parameters of the U.S. Regime change project, because Goudreau told the Washington Post in a very revealing interview that this was not a military action, that this was a police action, because according to the United States, Juan Guaido is a legitimate president of Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro is a usurper, and therefore they were going to kidnap him and install the legitimate president. So in this way, the United States, through this launching a coup into Venezuela by recognizing this person who won 90,000 votes as a lawmaker and never won a presidential election as the president against someone who won 6.2 million votes on May 20th, 2018, is promoting these kinds of extremely dangerous and potentially quite deadly mercenary actions against a country with a government whose government is equally legitimate as that of any other Western nation, arguably speaking. So I think that this is, you know, very dangerous activity on the part of the Trump administration. But it's also important to remember that this is bipartisan, that Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi recognize Juan Guaido as the president of Venezuela, and therefore they condone these kinds of mercenary activities. They also back the murderous U.S. sanctions, which, you know, according to Jeffrey Sachs and Mark Weisbrot, were responsible for an estimated 40,000 dead in between 2017 and 2018. So, in which these sanctions have only been ramped up with an oil embargo and, you know, subsequent even more expansive ban on dealing with Iran-style, Cuba-style embargo that we're seeing in Venezuela right now. So, clearly, I think both the entire political class, stretching from the Democrats to the Republicans, to even progressives who have really failed to speak out against this coup, that there needs to be a responsibility. Political responsibility definitely needs to be addressed on this issue.
Well, Lucas, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to VenezuelaAnalysis.com from our website. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
My guest has been Lucas Kerner, political analyst and editor at VenezuelaAnalysis.com. We've been discussing the failed attempt to capture Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro that originated in the United States. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.